Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning. It is March 21st, 2023. It is Tuesday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Witch Way Publishing. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "People were always the limiters of happiness, except for the few that were as good as spring itself," by Ernest Hemingway, A Movable Feast. I actually really despise Ernest Hemingway, and I picked this quote. You ever just do something and you're like, "Oh, man, I picked this quote, and I don't like him." Well, here we are, and at least now the world knows. So what are we drinking today? We are drinking Witch's Cupboard, which is an herbal tea, caffeine-free, made from rooibos, chamomile, and peppermint. It's very soothing. It's very pleasant. It is just like the epitome of herbal tea. Like in all the best ways. So yesterday we talked about the magical properties of peppermint. Today we're talking about the more medicinal benefits. So this comes to us from Healthline.com, and it's 12 benefits to peppermint tea. First of all, it could ease digestive issues. Animal studies indicate that peppermint relaxes your digestive system and can help ease pain. And it could also help prevent spasms in your gut. So it's a really good addition to like a sick tea. I usually use Witch's Cupboard as like my base for when I would make my own sick tea blends. Two, it may relieve tension, headaches, and migraines. Peppermint acts as a muscle relaxant and like we said before, pain reliever, so it can kind of help with headaches. It may freshen your breath. We know that from toothpaste. I am using the funkiest toothpaste right now, and I mean funky in a good way. It is from this super French brand that I'm not even going to try to pronounce. Sometimes I'll get brave and my French accent isn't too terrible. It's fine, I guess. But I'm not brave enough to try to say this brand. But it is a mint cucumber toothpaste, and I love it. It's so fun. So it can help relieve clogged sinuses. Peppermint is antibacterial and antifungal, great for spring and allergies like I'm dealing with right now. It can help improve energy. Peppermint tea may improve energy levels and reduce fatigue. It can help relieve muscle cramps. Like we said before, it's a muscle relaxant, right? And it helps with spasms, which is essentially what cramps are. So that's really cool. It can be beneficial against bacterial infections. Like we said before, it's antibacterial and antifungal. It could help improve your sleep, and it's because it's caffeine-free and, again, relaxant. We love it. It can also help with weight loss. Peppermint tea is naturally calorie-free. It has a pleasantly sweet flavor, which makes it just a really smart choice if you are looking to reduce your caloric intake. And it can help with seasonal allergies, which is why I'm drinking it, because, And then lastly, it may help with concentration as well. All right, moving into some headlines. This comes to us from The Guardian. Ooh, we may have a ghost review. Supernatural Netflix caper needs more spirit. Ooh, this got a 2 out of 5. Ooh. Okay, let's see what the situation is. So one of the let's see. One of the hardest big screen losses during the quick shuttering and slow reopening of cinemas during the pandemic was the lack of major audience for certain like normally what would have been really good movies, like a lot of movies are just not getting the audience attention that they need just because of people not going to theaters, right? And honestly, I went to the movies 2 weeks ago and I saw the movie Missing. I liked it. It was really good, but like no one was in the theater. And I think just, I don't know if theaters are going to kind of survive post-pandemic, if we're being honest. Let's see. Now, okay, so Netflix is, let's see. It makes sense that he would have then parlay that into the world of family films. So the Netflix caper, We Have a Ghost, might be aimed at a younger demographic, but it retains a similar speed and spirit. But as perfect as this matchup might seem on paper, the move has also come at a cost, a loss of something more distinctive, perhaps. Landon has always been transparent about his influences. Happy Death Day, recalling Groundhog's Day, Disturbia, recalling Rear Window. But here, he's too busy trying to conjure the vibe of a certain type of film to focus on crafting something of his own. So in this movie, We Have a Ghost, which is, again, Netflix, aimed towards maybe like a younger crowd, maybe teens. This type of film would be best defined as a Amblin logo, something that reminds most of us of a specific combination of adventure comedy and often gentle moments of something scarier like E.T. or The Goonies. The story takes a family and moves them into a suspiciously cheap new home, only for them to find out it's haunted by a gentle ghost. So we have a ghost. We have a ghost is then exclaimed with the words meaning something different to each family member. For Father Frank, it's an opportunity to make money. For Mother Melanie, it's a reason to be frustrated. And for the eldest son, Fulton, it's a way to get girls. And for younger son Kevin, it's a way to feel less alone. So it's Kevin who takes the lead, nurturing a friendship and tasking himself with trying to help the ghost figure out why he died and to help find him some freedom. So in Landon's simpler, sweeter, low-stakes opening act, the film works best, a charming blend of like Casper and Beetlejuice, but the film quickly gets bogged down in some overplotted nonsense involving a gaudy TV medium, Jennifer Coolidge, and a ghost hunter turned author, Tig Notaro. And it just doesn't quite work, which is sad because I really, really like Happy Death Day. That's actually a movie I really, really enjoy. So honestly, I'm still gonna watch it. I'm still gonna watch it because I it honestly is kind of giving me, and I could be wrong, but it's kind of giving me the Frighteners vibes, which is like one of my favorite movies. So I'm still gonna check it out. So it is We Have a Ghost on Netflix. All right, witches, I'm gonna throw this over to our moon correspondent, and after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Tuesday, March 21st. The new moon grabs onto a fresh light with both hands in Aries today. Here, the moon conjuncts the sun and Mercury. This moon is trying to tell us that we need to hang on to our own light and not allow others to dim our shine. It's time to do something dramatic, something crazy, something you've always wished you could do but didn't have the courage. The new moon in Aries is all about impulsive initiation and the things we can achieve if we just believe in ourselves. So take this day by the lapels, look it straight in the face, and tell it that you are in charge. Your daily moon mantra is, either you run the day or the day runs you. This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Hello.
Have an idea for the next great book on witchcraft? Witchway Publishing is looking for authors, new and seasoned, who are ready to publish their next book. Everyone has a story, and every story deserves to be told. Currently accepting books for our 2024 lineup, we are looking for books centering around witchcraft as a spirituality or practice, as well as fiction books. We are currently not accepting children's books, photography books, or books of poems. If you're interested, please visit witchwaypublishing.com.
Right, so we are back. I talked yesterday about how Sunday was St. Joseph's Day, and I know nothing about St. Joseph's Day since I was not raised Christian nor Catholic. But living in New Orleans, I have never had to hear about Christianity as much as I do living in New Orleans, which, like, it's fine. You know, it's just, it's new for me. So it can sometimes be a little frustrating because I sometimes feel like I'm kind of expected to be Christian or Catholic, even amongst witchy people. And it's just, it's a new thing for me, and it's tiring. But that being said, one of my friends is Catholic, and she dropped off for me this fun little pamphlet about St. Joseph's Day, as well as a fava bean and cookies, which, since I moved here, she has always brought me St. Joseph's Day cookies. They are wonderful. I have to ask her, are they always the same type of cookie? Because every year they're the same cookies, and I don't know if, like, that's a thing. I'll have to find out. But we're going to read this pamphlet on fava beans and St. Joseph's Day, because Catholicism is arguably the witchiest of Christianity paths. So this was handed out at the St. Joseph altar. So let's find out. So the people of Sicily prayed. For too long, there had been no rain to nourish the crops that sustained life for most of the island. The dried-out weed stalks cracked beneath the feet of the poor farmers as they walked through their barren fields. Only a sea of dust and withered vines remained from what once had been a row of brightly colored fruits and vegetables. And so the people prayed. They pleaded to Saint Joseph, their patron, for relief from the terrible famine that gripped the island. At last, the skies opened, sending down the life-giving water. The people rejoiced. Some time later, to show their gratitude, they prepared a table with a special assortment of food they had harvested. After paying honor to Saint Joseph, they distributed the food to the less fortunate. The first Saint Joseph altar set up on the island of Sicily was a small one, of course, but as time went on and the tradition took hold, the flamboyant nature and creative spirit of the Italians caused the altars to grow larger and more ornate. Today, the artistic quality of the breads, cookies, and pastries, which are baked in such shapes as chalices, staffs, pyramids, often rivals the exquisite flavor of these food offerings. So it does sound like the cookies are always the same for a reason. They're delicious. Love them. Though Sicilian immigrants introduced the custom to America, the celebration is not confined to any nationality. Rather, it becomes a public event which its devoted participants embrace for a host of private and personal reasons. The feast is alternatively a source of petition and thanksgiving. Many families believe that having a St. Joseph altar can bring very good fortune, and it is common to hear stories about the favors received, which are in turn attributed to the family's dedication to St. Joseph. But whatever the reasons people become involved, St. Joseph Feast Day is a tradition that centers on the entire family. One of the special customs calls for the selection of children to portray members of the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Angels and favorite saints also may be included in the ritual, which begins with the saints going door to door to seek aid until finally reaching the place where the altar is on display. After the Holy Family has eaten, guests may partake of the meal. Most of the foods presented on the altar are acquired through begging, a symbolic gesture that represents what the poor of Sicily were forced to do. When the feast is over, the remaining food and whatever money has been contributed are given to the poor. Whether a St. Joseph altar is an elaborate display at an elegant church or a humble table in a modest home, it is a reflection of deep devotion to St. Joseph, the patron of those in need, workers, travelers, and the persecuted, the poor, the aged, the dying. It is a custom that has enjoyed a resurgence in recent years, as young and old have begun to rediscover their heritage. After many centuries, the St. Joseph altar still serves as a reminder that those who have enjoyed some good measure of good fortune must share it with those who have less. So let's read about fava beans. So fava bean may be served in a frittata or garlic sauce. When dried, roasted, and blessed, it becomes a very popular lucky bean. Legend has it that you will never be broke as long as you carry one. Some people believe that if you keep one in the pantry, there will always be food in the kitchen. The myth of the fava bean began during the famine in Sicily, where the bean was used as fodder for cattle. To survive, the farmers prepared them for the table. Hence, they considered themselves lucky to have them. The bean is also a symbol of fertility, since it grows well even in poor, rocky soil. Italians would carry a bean from a good crop to ensure a good crop the following year. The blessed dried beans are distributed at altars, along with a piece of blessed bread, which I ate the bread. And I do have the fava bean, which I'm very grateful for. I will put it in my purse. I think that's really fun. So fun. For those who don't know, that is St. Joseph's Day, and it's on the 19th. I think it's always the 19th. Okay, let's talk about the new moon in Aries. This is from Refinery 29. So new moons are the cosmic resets of the astrological world. They give us a fresh start each month, allowing us to clear our plates of anything that isn't serving us anymore. So on March 21st, we'll experience these vibes with a glorious new moon in Aries, signaling a time of possibility and hope for the future. There will be two new moons in Aries this month. Two. So this means we'll get a double dose of that go-getter, Ram energy. So this is a beautiful time to tune into what lights you up, as well as what makes you feel hopeful and excited for the future, says Stephanie Campos. While most new moons can be a perfect time for where we're feeling in need of more rest, this new moon is different. It is under the fire sign of Aries, and it can deliver the spark of energy and inspiration you've been looking for. So this particular new moon will be our last opportunity to set intentions for a while. The reason is that the first eclipse season of the year is fast approaching, bringing a time of uncertainty. Eclipses are not meant to be channeled or harnessed. Instead, they are times of surrender. So we won't experience a regular new moon until May 19th. So this is your last chance to make most of this lunar energy. Launch your projects now. Manifest your dreams now. Put your desires into motion now. The time is ripe for positivity and success, okay? So there's a few other planetary happenings to be aware of. For starters, Mercury, the planet of communication, will be close to the sun and moon, making our communication with others fast and harsh. Good to know. I'm already a little fast and harsh with my communication, so that's good to be aware of. Ooh. While Aries energy is exciting and motivating, its spark can burn out just as quickly as it started. So another planet to look for is Mars. So Mars is the planet of desire, which will be in the last degree of Gemini and in widespread to Neptune, urging us to take it slow and define what we want to attain. So work through fears during this lunation and embrace all demons we've hidden in our closets. loving the shadow side is essential. So, yes. So, what did we learn here today? We have learned now is the time for intention starting, goal manifesting, and dreams. And it's kind of the last chance you get until like end of May because we're going to be in eclipse season. So do it now. Now. Okay. What else? Be careful with your communication. Sugarcoat. Sugar. Even if you are typically not a sugarcoater, just do it. I think that's a good lesson. All right, witches. We are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I want to give a shout out to listener Kim Bose. Kim, you talented, scrumptious sunset. Karen Walker. Karen, you brilliant, magical werewolf. Vanessa, you rule-breaking, glowing oracle. And finally, Portia Bishop. Portia, you glorious, kind spider queen. Thank you for so much being Patreon supporters. I really, really appreciate it. And before we leave today, we do have a card pull. Our card today is Mami Wada from the Metaphysical Cannabis Oracle. And it's going to take me just a minute to find it. Let's see. I feel like we've talked about Mami Wada before. She's definitely one I tend to kind of go back to over and over again. So the water in this card is a major factor, as Mama Wada will use the water to prove a point or to teach a lesson if her message are not received. So this card could be a sign of fertility as well. All right, witches. That's all I've got for you today. Quick housekeeping notes. We have filled all 10 member spots for the January social club retreat. So here's what you need to do if you think you could ever be interested. I'm probably not going to mention this again on air. So if you're interested at all, ever, now, 2 years from now, 10 years from now, maybe one day, sort of, kind of, the waiting list is open, okay? And if you think you could even be interested in 10 years, go on the waiting list, because I'm going to, because the waiting list is already growing, and there's no guarantee that there's going to be 10 fresh new spots open for next year, you know? Because ideally, we want to keep members. It's a social club. You want to keep your members. So there's no guarantee there's going to be 10 fresh spots next year. So when spots do open, it's going to be given to waiting list people first. So you may not even have an opportunity for like a few years to go, right? So if you think you could be interested at all, waiting list. So go to academyforextraordinarywitches.com. You go to learn more. The password is seance, and you can join the waiting list, okay? So that's it. I'm never talking about it again, okay? Unless something, I don't know. I don't know what could happen. The world explodes, who can say? So yeah, I'm probably not going to mention it again. So if you're interested at all, please put your name on the waiting list, okay? And then when you fill out the waiting list, you can say whether, like, you have no intention of it this year, but want it for the future, okay? So that's it. That's all I've got for you. Oh my gosh. Remember, any books, texts, headline sources, anything we've referenced today can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. I am probably going to take a few days break from recording to try to recover a little bit from my allergies because everyone's telling me I sound really congested. So I'm going to take a break. But you won't miss any days. So to you, it'll be normal. I'm just letting you know, for me, it's not normal. But that's it. Okay. So we will talk soon, super soon.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.
I had an abortion when I was 15 years old in my home state of Arizona in 1994. It was not a decision that I made lightly, but I have never for one moment doubted that it was the right decision for me. But so much has changed in Arizona and many other states since then. If I were that same 15-year-old in Arizona today, legally, I would have to get parental consent. I would be forced to undergo a medically unnecessary ultrasound, go to a state-mandated in-person counseling session designed solely to shame me into changing my mind, and then take a state-mandated 24-hour time out to make sure I really know what I wanted. And finally, I would be forced to give the state a reason why. Well, here is mine. It is my body, not the state's. Women and their doctors are the ones that are in the best position to make informed decisions about what is best for them. No one else. No bill that criminalizes abortion will stop anyone from making this incredibly painful decision. These bans will not stop abortion from happening, but they will drive women and girls and people into the shadows, which is what this has always been about, shaming and controlling women's bodies. In the week after I shared my story on my show, women were coming up to me in the street, in the supermarket, at my gym, with tears in their eyes, thanking me for my bravery. But the word brave didn't sit right with me. Why is it brave to speak to an experience that millions of people around the world throughout history have gone through? And then I realized it is considered brave because as women, we have been taught to feel shame about our bodies since birth. I am so sad that we have to sit here in front of a row of politicians and give deeply personal statements, because the why doesn't matter. It should not matter. I am a human being that deserves autonomy in this country that calls itself free, and choices that a human being makes about their own bodies should not be legislated by strangers who can't possibly know or understand each individual's circumstances or beliefs. I'm here today to help destigmatize a legitimate medical procedure and continue to encourage women not to allow themselves to be shamed for their choices. And finally, I am here today for my two little girls, Birdie and Cricket. My dream for them is that they will live in a world in which women are truly equal with complete control over their own reproductive health. That is the dream I hold for all people, regardless of their privilege or parents or what state they live in. That dream is slipping further and further from reality with every ban passed. I hope that you, our elected leaders, can help us reverse the tide. Thank you. I look forward to today's discussion.